You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm. And thanks for joining us today. I'm Dwight Falk, Abraham Blondeau with me here as well. And certainly a lot to talk about on this weekend edition of Trumpet Radio Live. Everyone always looks forward to the weekend, most cases, taking a little break from things. And but boy, there's sure a lot happening. And we're going to talk about some of those headlines. Also, the Key of David program and the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Talk about those and give you a preview of what's coming up. And get to some things that happened on this day in history as well. And, of course, throughout the weekend, make sure you also listen for the Trumpet Hour Week in Review program that comes up Friday and then through the weekend. And it's a trumpet columnist looking at the major events that have happened throughout the week. And there's never a shortage of things to talk about. Always a lot going on. And a lot in the headlines today that we're going to talk about as well. The first thing we're going to look at is a new cell phone that's out there, smartphone. Everybody likes smartphones, but I'm sure everybody's thinking, how can I spend more money on a smartphone? I just want to spend more. You think that's a common thought?
I think people might express it differently, but that's essentially what they're doing.
How can I unload more of this cash? There's a new smartphone out there. It's from this company. It's actually an Israeli tech company. I think that's just started up. Solarin. I'm not sure exactly how they pronounce it. But they have this super-duper smartphone. Top-of-the-range phone promises military-grade encryption technology to protect users' calls and messages and is aimed squarely at business leaders, celebrities, VIPs, and the super-rich. Sign me up.
Yeah, it sounds like it's right up our alley.
Right up my alley, and yours as well. Hailed by its makers as, quote, the best smartphone in the world, one would hope. This company has been 2.5 years in development, and it's the first product unveiled by this Israeli startup company, Siren Labs. So this Solarin phone, $17,000. You could buy a car, or you could buy this smartphone. They say, but listen to this, it's up to 10 times faster. Cost 10 times as much. Plus, it has, they say, company officials claim the best screen, the best daylight smartphone camera, the richest and loudest speakers, more 4G LTE bands than any other phone ever, and Wi-Fi speeds up to 10 times faster than today's networks. If you want to download a full HD movie in just 5 seconds, no problem. But you got to pay $17,000 for this. That's the basic model.
Right. Yeah, this is it's interesting because, I mean, it's a clever ploy maybe to make a smartphone that is so much better than all the other ones, as according to what they say, and try to market it just to a specific audience that has the money to spend. But I'm just wondering if it's actually going to work because. I don't know. Smartphones are, we've kind of reached the apex of what a smartphone is. So it'll be interesting if they get any takers on this. Or, I mean, if people see the value in having things 10 times faster for 10 times as much.
Well, I think that it's like anything. If it becomes sort of an iconic symbol, then people that have the money will want it. But if not, I don't think so. One of the things they're really pushing is this, as they say, top-of-the-range military-grade encryption technology so they can protect all the calls. Then later they say, nothing's 100% safe, though. There's no way to really guarantee that you'll never be hacked in some fashion. And, two, the other thing that's interesting, I guess, if you want to look at the other side of it, is if you're somebody that's out there and you're a hacker and you want to get into people's phones, well, this would be like would narrow down what you could look at because you think, right. I want to get those phones because I know those people are going to have the interesting content more so than, you know, if they hacked an average person's phone and stole all their cat pictures.
Right.
Not quite as valuable.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Rolls Royce of smartphones, like a very specific grade one. And, yeah, it does kind of bring up that the whole encryption thing, it does actually work. We've covered a few stories on the show about just basic ways people can intercept messages. And I don't think it really has anything to do with encryption. Like, that doesn't necessarily protect some of the methods they can use. So, it will be interesting to see if this is because it is an Israeli company, part of a bigger, I think a bigger trend of Israeli technology marketing itself overseas too, outside of all their other products. They are struggling a little bit because of boycotts and that kind of thing. So yeah, it is interesting to see if, because Israeli technology is top grade. So it's, I think maybe they're trying to market it and see if they can get a place in the world.
I'd be interested in it if I could live in it and drive it to work.
Right.
So then I'd be a little more like, oh, okay, let's take a look at this. $17,000 for a smartphone. So just when you thought you had the top of the line phone, something else comes along. Bigger, right, and faster and better. It's always that way. Or if it was like made out of solid gold, maybe that would be something,
right,
too. But,
well, I'm waiting for the iPhone 7, which in my opinion is going to be an iPad that can take phone calls, because some of these phones are getting so big, it's essentially a tablet.
Right. Eventually we'll be carrying around desktop computers,
yeah,
taking calls. It's funny how that goes. They get bigger and then they get smaller and then they do different things.
But. Yeah.
So anyway, interesting to see if they have any takers on that. And again, they're selling it to they're targeting VIPs, celebrities, super rich, business travelers, that type of thing that would have information they'd want to keep quiet. So, but it's interesting too, because on the flip side, it was talked about this week, even on I think it was on the Trumpet Daily Show, how in Europe, some of the top meetings that they want to keep secret, they just go in with a pen and paper.
Right.
And I think Vladimir Putin, I think you mentioned, has done that as well, where he actually would take a typewriter and type things up. Because unless you have the actual paper, there's nothing you can do. You can't steal that data. So in some cases, going back to older methods is actually a little more secure.
Right, yeah. I mean, paper trail is the hardest one to trace because you'd actually need the physical papers. You need someone to go in there and grab it. I mean, that's classic espionage. but nowadays we make it easier for our enemies because everything's floating around in that digital cloud and it's easier for them to access than having it in one office room, in one filing cabinet under lock and key.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm. Also a live link at thetrumpet.com. And if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, please do that, at KPCGFM, and we'll send out some tweets occasionally. And also you can send us emails, questions or comments or anything to comments at kpcg.fm. We got a nice comment yesterday where a listener said they like listening to us, so we appreciate that. And I think they said we had some good information on the program and some light-hearted humor. So thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I was going for the heavy-hearted humor, but... I'll take the lighthearted one, too.
Got to start somewhere. Can't launch into the heavy stuff right away.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of serious news, but there's some funny stuff that happens, too. Sometimes unintentionally, sometimes intentionally. So appreciate those comments, and it's always nice to get good ones. But if you have any comment, we'll take that at KPCG. Comments at kpcg.fm. I'm Dwight Falk, Abraham Blondo, with me here today. Before we... into some of the historical things, you know, you ever notice how many dollar stores there are around?
Yes,
they seem like they've really been popping up lately. I took a trip over the weekend and I drove through a couple of states, and every town had one. And sometimes there was one on one side of town and one on the other side of town, so they're very popular. Well, AOL says, hang on one second, there's 9 things to never buy at the dollar store. This is their opinion, so take it for what it is. Number one, electrical cords. Because, and this is the reason for most of it, quality and safety is questionable. You don't want to burn your house down with an electrical cord. So they say you shouldn't buy electrical cords there. Also toys, same reason. Quality suspect, safety suspect. The third thing they say you shouldn't buy at the dollar store is tools. They just don't last.
Right.
Which makes sense. The fourth thing is medicines. I didn't know you could buy medicine. I haven't been to too many of them, but I don't know what type of medicine they're talking about. But yeah, I could see avoiding that. The fifth thing they say to avoid is vitamins. I could see that as well. Some people have different definitions of what vitamins are. So,
right.
I've known people over the years that used vitamins as a code word for donuts. So I don't think that's what's meant by the vitamins. Number six, you shouldn't buy pet food. Like the pets don't like it, I guess, or it could be suspect as well. The next two are interesting. They say you really shouldn't buy soda or gum at a dollar store because the packages are smaller. And if you look at the package size, it's actually cheaper to buy it at a normal grocer.
Huh.
Which surprised me a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think I will have to admit I bought 8 of those 9 items before from a dollar store. So maybe I'm the fool here, but I did see an interesting article where millennials, so my generation, they're choosing dollar stores over Walmart nowadays. That's like the buying trend.
That's interesting. Well, the last thing they say is batteries. You shouldn't buy them because they don't last as long. But again, that's what AOL, that's their write-up, so I don't know if this is true or not, but I thought it was an interesting list to look at. If you're in the position like Abraham here, who's bought them all, I don't know how you feel right now. Maybe not great.
Well, I'll take the right now. I'll take the money saved over the everything else because I barely use some of those things I've bought. I have a funny story though. I was in a dollar store just walking around. I was looking for I think I was just buying some food on the go, and there's this dog. This dog walked past my leg. It was a nice looking golden retriever. I was like, huh, like I didn't know animals were allowed in the store.
Yeah.
But there wasn't anyone walking with him. And whenever he was just meandering through the store, everyone's looking around at each other like, whose dog is this? And it wasn't anyone's dog. A random dog had walked in through the front door, and he's just looking, going around the store through all the aisles.
He's looking for employment.
Yeah.
He wanted to stock shelves.
Yeah. Well, I think they probably could use the help at the time, I'd be honest. But it was interesting, and the owner had to come and grab him. The owner of the Dollar General came and grabbed him and brought him out the store and tried to find the owner of the dog.
I tell you, the animals are trying to take over.
Yeah.
I saw a bird in Dillard's a couple days ago. He was flying around. Just looking for shirts, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I used to work at a big department store, and whenever animals came in, I would be helped tasked with removing them. And we had to get pretty creative because we don't want to cause a big deal. And the ceilings are very high, so you have to try to figure out how to get outside the store. And some of them, if they're low enough, we can kind of herd them outside. But sometimes they evade us and they just live up there until they find their own way out.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah, my son was with me. He's pretty young. And we saw the bird, and he's like, I said, I wonder how they're going to get that thing out of here. Because like you said, the ceilings are high and it's hard to get a hold of it. And he's like, well, you could just like blow up the store. I said, but yeah, that may get rid of the bird, but it seems like that would bring other problems into the equation.
So. May get rid of everything else as well.
So I don't know that he has a future in animal removal. So anyway, that was interesting. There was actually another list of like the 9 things you should always buy at the dollar store. I didn't get that one. I was concerned for the listeners about buying some of these other things.
With my luck, I probably haven't bought those 9 items from a dollar store.
You're that guy. You flip the lists. What? that would be funny to look at. Anyway, you can find that at AOL. They had both lists, so you can just search for that if you want to. Here are some things that have happened on this day in history. 1098 on this day, Christian crusaders of the First Crusade seized Antioch, Turkey. So always interesting history there with the Crusades. Lots of warfare, lots of bloodshed during those. 1539 on this day, Hernando de Soto claimed Florida for Spain. I just like saying his name, so that's why I put that in there. But we got it now. It's the U.S.'s.
That's right.
So actually, quite a few people this time of year, it seems like, or I know of a few at least, once school gets out, they go down to Disney World down there, take the kids. So I've been hearing some stories about people's trips down there.
Yeah. Yeah, there was even some of my friends went to Florida. They just got back this week, had some stories on everything I've missed.
All the stuff you missed
during
out
their vacation, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. 1621 on this day, the Dutch West India Company received a charter for New Netherlands, now known as New York, of course. So definitely different today than it was way back then. 1800 on this day, John Adams moved to Washington, D.C. He was the first president to live in what later became the capital of the United States. So I think he'd been over in Philadelphia, some of those areas previously. Great history in those cities. If you get the chance to go to Philadelphia or Washington, D.C. It's, if you're in the right part of town, there's some really, really neat historical things to look at there. This one's interesting. 1851 on this day, the New York Knickerbockers, we call them the Knicks, of course, usually, became the first, well, actually, no, this would be the baseball version, sorry. The New York Knickerbockers became the first baseball team to wear uniforms. So I don't know what they were wearing before that. Hopefully something.
Yeah, hopefully it wasn't shirts and skins.
But. Yeah. Yeah, so they had uniforms, and then, of course, now the Knicks are the basketball version, so they've changed their names a little bit. 1888 on this day, Casey at the Bat, the famous poem, was first published. You've heard that, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of a famous one that I think most people have heard. 1937 on this day, the Duke of Windsor, who had abdicated the British throne, married Warfield Simpson. So that's not great history there for the British throne. 1938 on this day, the German Reich voted to confiscate so-called degenerate art. They, of course, had that trend to kind of, and you hear that kind of referenced a lot of times when people are out there in modern times doing things that are probably degenerate. And if people comment about it, they'll say, well, the Nazis took away the, you know, like that was the first step.
Right.
So anyway, that argument's thrown out there sometimes. But there's a lot of things that are considered art that are fairly out there. This one's something we're going to talk about a little bit more. 1989 on this day, Chinese army troops positioned themselves to begin a sweep of Beijing to crush student-led pro-democracy demonstrations in Tiananmen Square. This was a major event. Those that were living at that time certainly remember this. And it was really interesting because it was kind of presented originally through the media that you know, here was this big change underway in China and it was going to be a different sort of China. And then the government came in and just crushed it. And it was over.
Yeah. Yeah, this we've recounted the history of this on a previous program. So I'll briefly run over it and focus on the one factor we like to zero in on today. But yeah, so essentially, one of the leaders died in China, part of the Communist Party, but he did support democratic reforms in the Chinese government. So 100,000 students from 40 universities marched to Tiananmen Square, and they staged these different rallies. And the government did negotiate with them. Well, negotiate is a loose term, ordered them to leave. Without any concessions. And then today is when they started to crack down on the students, the young people there. And how they did that, I mean, there's the famous pictures of the tanks rolling in. And but troops marched in. They opened fire on the crowd. Hundreds died. Thousands were captured and made in prisoners, political dissidents. Afterwards, an unknown amount of dissidents were executed. So they say hundreds died, but a lot of people think it's a much, much higher estimate of the actual amount of people who died. And it was just crushed like it never even happened, and no change occurred in China.
Yeah, and this was right around that time when things were changing in the Soviet Union. It's kind of like, it was kind of like we've seen the Arab Spring more recently. It was sort of like that. It was a revolution, a change. You know, Russia was going to be different. China was going to be different. Now, China didn't allow it to take root. Russia, there was a change. The Soviet Union, there was a change. But what did it give rise to years later? Dictatorial power given to Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
So it's interesting if you look at things over time, how sometimes things start out looking like it's going to be this great democratic revolution, and it usually doesn't go that way.
Yeah, well, even especially in Russia, it was a lot of false hope. Boris Yeltsin, and really he had the support of Russia's weakness because the economy wasn't doing well. America was resurgent. There was a lot of pressure, and Gorbachev made the necessary steps for the Soviet Union to fall. Without Gorbachev, it probably would have kept going for a while longer until it just died maybe entirely. But yeah, it was, I think, a false revolution where the people wanted to change, but the change didn't guarantee what they wanted, so they reverted back to what they had before. Because at least there was more security in that. And the same thing, well, in China was tried to be done by these young students, that young generation. But it does just really, I think, illustrate the characteristics of the regime. Even to today, they imprison dissidents and execute them every year, a lot of them. It's just not reported in the Western media because they want good relations with China, because we are such a big trading partner, so they're very careful in how what they say. But I think this is a good thing to contrast between how our First Amendment right to peaceful assembly versus almost the rest of the world. And how these people, when they want change, when they want to assemble and bring about some grievances, attention to the grievances, they can be crushed, and they don't have a choice.
Right, and it is a real privilege in a way, or it's a freedom that should be appreciated. Like you say, that you can peacefully assemble, you can, give your opinion on something. But what we're seeing here, and then of course, if you look at the headlines today with the Donald Trump rallies and the aggressive response to him, is people abusing that, and it, making it this violent thing, and abusing those rights and those powers. And so, when you take a step back and you look at the way people are treated in other nations, if they step forward and try to say something that, and have a rally like that, they don't have that freedom. And so it's a freedom to appreciate, but not to abuse.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of lessons, especially those people who do engage in those activities, to be grateful for the freedom we have. And it's a great one. I mean, if you look at the history of the peaceful assembly and what it's achieved, it's done a lot to actually improve America. It's also been abused in throughout history too. But I think on the overall, it's actually turned out well, considering what maybe other nations experience. And I think was a way by the Founding Fathers to try to use human nature to the betterment of the nation. Because most nations, if people are discontent, if they have a problem, that it turns into a mob, not a protest. There's a big difference between the two. So they try to give people the right to do that, but within a lawful attitude. They're not allowed to destroy property, impede anyone else's progress or traffic. But just make a statement, let people know that it's out there, and then move on. But we're seeing now is once that lawful attitude is gone, once the respect for the rule of law is gone, it just turns into a mob. And that's the exact thing they're trying to prevent from happening.
Yeah, and the thing too is if let's say the rule of the mob takes over, what's next? You either have just this continual mob activity, but what it always gives rise to is the rise of one dictatorial leader who controls a military force or something like that, and then they don't let anybody say anything.
Yeah.
It's just interesting even to look at the way, say, the media is addressing this uprise against those Donald Trump meetings. What if the exact same thing was happening at a Bernie Sanders rally, and they were attacking Bernie Sanders supporters, or they were attacking Hillary Clinton supporters, or if you go back to when President Obama was running, how would the media have talked about that? Well, I think we all know. Crazy, right-wing, gun-toting, Bible-believing, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. We've heard it all before. And so the way the media is portraying these different things is pretty interesting. But again, because everybody kind of is a reporter today with their phones, and they can put it to social media, they're having a hard time keeping a lid on what's going on with some of those things.
Right, yeah, they're having a hard time pushing the narrative because there's enough information now out there where it's the facts, the images are clear for everyone to see. And I think borrowing from another historical example, the French Revolution, we can see where mob violence leads to. I mean, if these people legitimately want the rule of the mob, not all of them do, but some segments of society do, that's where it leads you, where no one's safe. It creates terrible disorder, uncertainty. Usually the leaders of the mob are overthrown when another mob gets control.
Sure.
Even in France, the media played a big role in that. All these papers on the rights of man, on certain fundamental rights, which in themselves were probably good progressions, but they didn't couple with the law. And that's where France failed, because there was no law to control and to mediate that change in society. It allowed the mob to do whatever they wanted. It allowed Napoleon to step into that power void. and launch France into the worst war that broke its power. France has never been a major power since then because Napoleon spent its money and resources fighting wars, trying to conquer all of Europe. So I think for these protesters from these historical examples and people who want to abuse that First Amendment right, if you do abuse it, there's two outcomes. There's Tiananmen Square, where the government comes and crushes you, or there's French Revolution, where you might get control for a little bit, but it's not going to work out well for you.
Until the bigger mob comes.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what happens in a mob society.
Yeah.
The other side gets a bigger mob, and then it's just back and forth.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to watch, and I think that's why it's so great to look at some of these historical examples, because they show us the outcome. We don't have to guess about, well, which way are these things going. We've seen them play out before. So interesting. And, of course, we'll just keep watching that develop as the summer progresses towards this election cycle. Some of the things that have happened on this day in history, that'll do it for us on Trumpet Radio Live, this weekend edition. For myself, Dwight Falk, and Abraham Blondeau, thanks for joining us today and this week. We will see you back here on Monday. You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, online kpcg.fm, and a live link at thetrumpet.com.